in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen, music with Peter Van Steeden, and another big amateur contest. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! Listen to that crowd cheer Fred Allen as he leads his weekly parade to the old Town Hall. Fred's telling the one about the two Irishmen and those histrionic marvels, more hiss than histrionic. The Mighty Allen Art Players are bringing up the rear. Let's join this shouting song. Everybody go! They come, mob victim.
You say the mob is lynching a man, Mrs. Perkins?
Yes, he broke every radio in the village, and it's Town Hall tonight.
Bonus Buddy.
Hey, Martin, the mailman's at the door with your bonus.
Tell him he'll have to come back in the morning, Mabel. It's Town Hall tonight.
Hollywood celebrity.
Understood, everybody. Where is Mickey Mouse?
Mickey just crawled into the radio, Mr. Lubitsch. It's Town Hall tonight.
And here we are in front of the old town hall, and there's Fred warming up for his octave jumping contest. Let's listen.
Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I'm on my way to the old town hall. Check your sunflowers and go right in, folks.
Wendy?
Hi there, Rentham. Snickers, titters, and laughs on the inside, folks.
Can I sit down in the front, mister?
Not unless you're double-jointed, lady, no. There's high and low jinx on the inside, folks. So hurry, hurry, hurry.
Hey, we're waiting for orders, Fred.
Righto, Harry. Orders are you've got to pull strings.
All right, Fred. Let her go, Peter.
You got to pull strings. You got to pull strings. If you want to go places, want to see things, you got to pull strings, get cobbles and gifts from Vantage on Wings. If you want to be happy living like kings, you got to pull strings. So just sit there wishing. If you've got ambition, be a politician. Get into the swing. It's easy to guess such wonderful things. But I'm telling you now that you got to know how. You got to pull strings. Don't just sit there wishing. If you've got ambition, be a politician. Get into the swing. It's easy to get some wonderful things. But I'm telling you now that you gotta know how. You gotta pull strings.
Presenting that omniscient old savant onomatopoeia, overpowering opera, and oyas, 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 Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before we give you a taste of the abundant life, as the abundant life goes in radio, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Arch White at the Bidawee filling station says, some vandal cut about 3 feet off the hose on the gas tank, and curb service will be discontinued temporarily. Now, Hart says if you're stuck for gas, you'll just have to back in over the sidewalk, jack up your rear end, and there's just about enough hose left to make the tank. So much. So. Quiet, please, during these announcements, if you will. So much for a nozzle kleptomania in our midst. And now for the town hall news. The curtain, Harry.
Coming right down, Fred.
The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The town hall news sees nothing, shows all. Chicago, Illinois. Members at National Retail Dry Goods Conference discuss methods of discharging employees painlessly without using those harsh words, you're fired. Town Hall News shows how dry goods firms may dismiss employees painlessly in the near future. The scene, a business office.
Did you ring Mr. Wombat?
Yes, Miss Craig. There's another mistake in the statement this month.
Really?
Get Mr. Tittle, our auditor, in here. I'll fire him on the spot.
Have you decided how to dismiss him?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, as a member of the National Retail Dry Goods Association, You're pledged to discharge employees painlessly.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten. I'll buzz for Dr. Bond, the firm psychologist.
Yes, sir.
He'll advise me. He's my expert on painless firing.
Come in, Dr. Bond.
Doc, how can I discharge my auditor, Tiddle?
Tiddle? Oh, yes. Yes, case 14B is subnormal. You'll have to be very careful with Tiddle.
Careful?
Ultra discreet. According to my chart, Tiddle's a walking rendezvous of phobias.
I don't get technical, Doc. Just tell me how to give him the skids.
Without hurting his feelings.
Well, now, Tiddle is a definite neurotic type dominated by a methodical neurosis. He never deviates from his set routine.
Don't beat around the cerebellum, Doc. How do I fire this bum?
You will have to go over a phase of his methodical life and hint with psychological cunning that his routine is about to be altered.
Well, I get the idea, Doc. Send Tiddle in here.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you keep him and save all that trouble?
I'll fire Tiddle if I have to sneak the business out from under him.
Summon me, Chief.
Yes, Tiddle, sit down.
No, thanks. I never sit down till noon when I go out to lunch.
You're a methodical employee, Tiddle.
Oh, yes, Mr. Wombat. Every morning for 20 years, I've gotten up at 7:12 promptly, taken the 8:05 religiously, and hung up my hat in this office at 9:01 promiscuously.
I know you pass my desk every day at 12:02.
Yes, I'm on my way to clear my throat before lunch.
You have a routine afternoon, too, I dare say?
Oh, yes. At 1:07, I sharpen my pencil and work like a beaver until 3:09.
What happens at 3:09?
I wipe my glasses. Then I work like a ferret until 5:10.
And at 5:10?
You pass my desk on the dot, Mr. Wombat, and I wave goodnight. I've been waving goodnight to you at 5:10 for 20 years.
Yes, that's why I called you in here, Tiddle.
Aren't you passing my desk on time tomorrow?
Yes, Tiddle. I will pass at 5:10 as usual.
Yes, Mr. Wombat.
But you, Tiddle, won't be there.
New York City, New York. At College of Physicians and Surgeons Reunion, doctors who have practiced 40 years claim that young doctors today have less personal interest in their patients. Town Hall News shows great difference between the old family doctor and the modern physician. First, the year 1896, old Dr. Jones.
Oh, I'm a goner, Mandy. Get old Doc Jones.
I sent for Doc yesterday, Hiram. Reckon he'll be along for nightfall.
Oh, what's keeping him?
That's Doc now. I'll let him in. Come right in, Doc. I'll hold your stomach pump.
Tidings, Mandy. Who's ailing?
Hiram was took queer yesterday. Hmm. He's yonder in the bed.
Well, hi. Got text, Collie?
I'm a goner, Doc. I can hear angels' wings a-flapping.
Well, maybe it's the devil swishing his tail.
You better prescribe, Doc. Better prescribe, and the devil's apt to swing it.
Turn over, Hiram. I'll get your pulse.
Just look at that sheet. I told you to cut your toenails, hi.
Here, now put this thermometer under your tongue, hi.
Oh.
What you been doing for him, Mandy?
Well, first I thought it was toe mane, so I put hot applications to his toes. That drove the pain up to his chest.
It turned to angina, likely.
Maybe. So I slapped a mustard plaster onto his short ribs, and that drove it up into his head.
Isolated it. Yes, good work.
Then I hung High's head out beside the bed. I thought maybe the pain would drop out on the floor.
What followed?
His upper plate.
Oh.
Now turn the thermometer loose, High.
Oh.
He's running the temperature. 140.
Oh, what's he got, Doc?
Looks like scarlet fever to me.
Scarlet fever? That's catching, ain't it?
I ain't sure. I'll let you know tomorrow.
You're going home to work on the case, Doc?
No, I'm getting into bed with a patient. Move over, hi.
But how different is the family doctor of today? The year 1936. Young Dr. Jones.
Oh, come right in, Doctor.
Who's sick?
It's my husband. He's right in here.
Oh. Now, what's the matter with you, sissy?
I don't know. Every time I get up, I get dizzy. What'll I do?
Don't get up. $10, please.
Once again, the Town Hall News brings you the outstanding sound of the week. New York City, New York. Father's Day Committee officially proclaims Sunday, June 21st, to be Father's Day. Don't forget next Sunday. Have a little present and a kind word for your pop. Your pop.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Now, tonight we show you how detectives and school teachers get their early training in asking questions. The scene, any home, any time, anywhere, anyhow. Listen.
Mother, why does a puppy wag his tail?
Why, because he's happy, I guess.
Oh. Well, why does the cat wag his tail? Because he's happy, too?
No, Junior. With a cat, it's different. It's when he's mad that his
tail... Well, Mother, why does an elephant wag
his... Oh, come now,
his...
Junior. You've asked enough questions for tonight. You'd better get yourself ready for bed.
Yes, but Mother,
and don't
why...
forget to massage your gums when you've brushed your teeth.
Well, Mother, if I brush my teeth with Ipana, why do I have to do that massage business, too?
Well, thank goodness I can straighten that out. It's to help make your gums healthy. You see, Junior, we eat lots of soft, creamy foods. And those foods don't give our gums enough exercise. And when our gums are soft and tender, our teeth are seldom white and sparkling.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason why we say every time you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, always put a little extra Ipana on your finger or your brush and massage it into your gums. For in that way, you'll give them the exercise and stimulation they need to help guard against serious gum trouble. That's what Ipana was made for. To benefit gums as well as to clean and brighten teeth. So always remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played A Little Robin Told Me So. And confidentially, ladies and gentlemen, that isn't the first time a little bird has been heard on these premises. Now, on Saturday morning, the puppet player...
Mr.
Quiet, quiet, please. If that's some tree surgeon rooting, I...
Hello.
Well, sir, they laughed when I pulled the chair out from under the hostess. They didn't know I was from the furniture company. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, our hiking club meets tomorrow, and I just came out to buy some shorts.
Say, you better get some long pants, too.
Why?
There comes a time in the life of every girl when she has to walk through Yonkers. Yonkers, you know, has banned bare limbs.
Yes, they say that even the restaurants there are serving Legoland in bloomers.
Gee whiz, imagine. Well, it's the girls' own fault. People were laughing themselves to death up there over weekend.
Some of the girls do look funny, all right.
I saw a girl in shorts yesterday. I thought it was the front end of a Queen Anne table running amok.
Girls have certainly changed a lot since Grandma's day.
Yes, they dress differently, too. All the girls used to wear bustles.
That's right. A girl today is on her own.
And and those high blood pressure fingernails. The modern girl looks as though she's been dunking in ketchup.
Oh, you're like a lot of men. You think beauty is only skin deep.
Why, if fellas could see some of their beautiful girlfriends early in the morning, the world would be chock full of bachelors.
That's what you think. Plenty enough men are still proposing.
You think so, hey? I know, and this is still leafier, so if you'll just stop leaping towards home.
Oh,
it'll...
no, you don't. Mr. Rasko!
Oh, no, don't.
Albert!
Oh, okay, sis, stand back, folks. You're about to see the man of the hour right this way, Elmer.
I'm coming. Where's the water pitcher? I can't make a speech without a water pitcher.
Now, just sit down and cool your hips, Elma. I'll take care of the speech.
Say, what is this?
Mr. Rowland.
My friend.
Leave me out of that. I'm no friend.
Hey, quit that heckling, buddy. This is a political rally.
Yeah, that's how we start all our speeches.
Go ahead, Mr. Rangel.
My friend.
Friend, you've got about as many friends as a seagull in a clam bed.
Now listen here, Punchinello. I'm sounding the keynote in Elmer's campaign.
Yes, Elmer's running for president, Mr. Allen.
My friends, you're gazing on the people's choice. Elmer Lava, the fourth party candidate.
Elmer's a Republican, Mr. Allen.
Right. If you ain't satisfied with either party, we give you Elmer.
Yeah, have a cigar. Corn silk.
Corn silk is right. Elmer's a farm boy at heart, born in a log cabin, likes to fish, looks at home in Indian feathers. He'll make a great president.
Has Elmer got a plank, Mr. Rangel?
What's he using for a head? If that isn't the end of a plank, I'll munch my fedora.
Yeah, no cracks, renegade. My friends, what this country needs is a man who'll walk around the White House in his stocking feet.
Ah, your feet don't scratch the top of the desk when you're working.
Gosh, does Elmer always go around in his stocking feet?
Does he? Listen, sis, I got to novocaine his feet to get shoes on him.
How did you get that derby on him? With a local anesthetic?
And now, see here, you watch your tongue, radical.
Don't pay no attention to him, Elmer. The party who designed the Holland Tunnel got the idea from the opening in this guy's face.
Why, if morons had to be on leashes, you and Elmer would be tugging at each other.
Oh, stop it, Mr. Rallis.
Yeah, remember, a knock's as good as a boost. Mix them up.
What's your first move if you get elected, Elmer?
Well, for a starter, I'm for upholstered shovel handles. If I'm elected, working men can lean on their shovels without skinning their arms.
Elmer's for muted factory whistles, too.
Yes, factory whistles are too shrill, Mr. Rangel.
That's the whole trouble. Factory whistles are waking up a lot of people who ain't working. Once they wake up, they're tossing and turning in bed for the rest of the day.
But what about the farmers?
Farmers will have to plant their seeds upside down.
Right. Instead of plowing under, the crops grow down into the ground and you can forget about them.
What about monopolies?
Why, if folks want to play Monopoly, I'll let them.
What about the budget?
What's the budget?
You'll find out as soon as Elmer's elected.
I've heard of it. It's something you can't balance, ain't it?
Yes, it's like a bow tie. You can't make both ends meet.
Say, what's this bag of lard going to do about inflation?
I ain't decided yet, Mr. Fancy Mouth. I might do away with money altogether.
You mean people would barter, Elmer?
He's toying with a great idea. Using meat for money. Cold cuts would be frozen assets.
Well, you don't... You don't think people are going around with their pockets full of chipped beef for small change, do you?
No, I don't. With my plan, people would only have to carry a liverwurst and a jackknife.
I get it. They'll slice off what they spend.
Elmo, bring back the Indian, too.
You bet. They were the first race to live in the red. I'm going to grill the first Indian I meet.
Well, don't look at me. You don't think I'm an Indian, do you?
Why, if you were shooting off your mouth in a chair, I wouldn't know you from Sitting Bull.
My friends, I am the people's choice. I ain't promising people nothing.
And my friends, Elmer lived down to his promises.
Don't you think they can use a man like Elmer in Washington, Mr. Allen?
Not unless Mr. Zionchek is getting lonesome, no.
I get it. Come on, fellas.
Why, you...
And that goes for me, too.
Well, beat it, pork barrel. So long, Portland.
Sally, ho!
Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight the boys sing, Don't Send My Boy to Prison.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
hey,
my boy.
Hey,
case of People versus Nibble. His Honor, the judge. His Honor, the judge.
My boy.
Order in the court.
Mother was weeping and wailing. The courtroom was filled with a crowd. The judge said,
why, madam, you're ailing.
But the poor mother shouted out loud,
don't send my boy to prison. Never again will he roam. He didn't steal that chicken. That chicken just followed him home.
Don't send my boy, my darling boy, to prison.
To be spoken. Yes, friends, the courtroom was hushed and silent when the mother, poor little gray-haired mother, told her sad story that day. The judge said, why, madam, don't bother, for I can't send your boy away.
Bora!
Don't send my boy to prison.
Wah, wah.
Down where the gangsters swarm.
Wah, wah.
Though he set the orphanage on fire.
Wah, wah.
He did it so he could keep warm.
Don't send my boy, my sonny boy, to jail.
I sentenced this young man to 10 years at hard labor.
Oh, Judge, please, my boy. Oh, Judge, oh, my boy.
Listen.
Beep, 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 beep.
Don't send my boy to prison.
Oh, no, no.
Where it is cold and numb.
Oh, no, no.
He didn't steal that pork chop.
No, Judge.
That pork chop just stuck to his thumb.
Don't send my boy to prison. Where he must eat stale bread. Just find the guy what wrote this. And send him to prison instead.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. That's very kind of you. Papa says.
Now listen, Portland. Ordinarily, your bright bird-like chatter fascinates me, but right now I've got other things on my mind.
What kind of other things, Mr. Allen?
Oh, fishing tackle, tennis rackets, bathing suits for my vacation, you know. I mustn't forget anything.
Oh, no. Papa says on a vacation, you must be prepared for any emergency. How about a corn popper and a ukulele, Mr. Allen?
Oh, sure, sure. How about a parachute and a St. Bernard dog?
Pardon me, Portland. I think Fred finds your suggestions more startling than practical. Now, Fred, if I may make a suggestion...
Why not, Harry? It might be a relief.
Yes, well, there's one vacation need that everyone should remember, and that's sal hepatica. Because a change of scene means a change of living habits. Different foods, different drinking water, irregular meals, and frequently over-exercise. Very often, those things upset your system, make you feel dull and logy and headachy. That's because under such conditions, two things are usually present. One,
waste in your body.
Right. And two,
acid in your system.
Right again. That's why we suggest sal hepatica to overcome the effects of vacation upsets. Because sal hepatica is the mineral salt laxative especially made to do not just one, but two things. To rid your body of wastes and also to combat acidity. So for a healthier, happier vacation, remember sal hepatica for the smile of health. Now there's the theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
another end of the mighty gas pipe organ theme played by Colonel Stupnagel, ladies and gentlemen, and now the Colonel himself comes to the microphone.
I better not stray too far away from the organ, Bud.
Well, why not, Colonel?
I might get an encore.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah. You'd better stay handy, to coin a phrase. Ladies and gentlemen, the Colonel will not be able to come to the microphone. At this time, however, rather than go on with the entertainment, we're going to bring the microphone to the Colonel.
Thank you, Bud. Certainly seems funny to take over the Fred Allen program for the summer and not get any applause.
Yeah, well, no wonder. I forgot to hold up the applause sign.
Where is it?
Well, it's right here under those fan letters you're going to mail as soon as we finish.
All right. I'll just finish my organ solo, Bud, and you hold up the applause sign.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stupnagel and Bud.
Yes, welcoming Stupnagel and Bud to the town hall program.
Say, what is the door?
I don't know. Who are they?
Listen, well, wait a minute. What's going on here,
know,
Fred?
Harry, I just stepped out for a smoke. I heard that applause.
Well, what started the applause?
Well, I held up the applause card.
Hey, listen, wait a minute. What do you think this is, people running in and out? The valley program? Listen, young man, who told you to get gay with the fixtures?
Well, I did. That is, I didn't tell him to get gay. I just said, quote, hold up the applause card, Bud, unquote.
Yeah, yeah. And then I held it up just like this.
Here, put that down. Put that card down. You don't want the folks here in the town hall applauding for nothing, do you?
Yes, go back over and sit down until your names are called on the amateur contest.
Yes.
What amateur contest? We're Stupnagel and Bud.
Who? Stupnagel and Bud.
You're in the wrong room, boys. The 40-cent tours start on the second floor.
Yes, I don't know whether you fellas know it or not, but this is the Ipana and Sal Hepatica program.
Of course. Hey, we're not selling Stupnagels and Buds. You couldn't say I Bud for the smile of beauty and Sal a Stupnagel for the smile of health.
Well, we're not products. We're just little old Stupnagel and Bud, the, comedians.
Yeah. The cut-ups, you know, funny stuff on short notice. Yes, well, I'm sorry, boys. I've never heard of you.
No, me. You don't look like comedians to me. Comedians are always thin, worried, and shaky. Now, look at you two fellas. You look too fat and contented.
Wait a minute. I think I lost my... where am I here?
On page.
Oh, yes. Say that last line again.
All right. No trouble. Yes, we give you that service here. We really...
I like that last one.
You don't, are you ready?
Yeah.
You don't look like comedians to me. Comedians are always thin and worried. Now, take you fellas there. You look too fat, sleek, and contented.
Yeah, I know, but we've been on sustaining.
Yeah, that's right. We're comedians, though. Listen, who was that lady I seen you with? Doesn't that mean anything to you two fellas?
Huh? It means... I don't think that other one was worth doing over now that we did it. Yes, that who is that lady I seen you with? It means you've been listening to the radio.
I'll tell you, maybe if Bud and I told a joke.
Oh.
Yeah, that would prove whether or not we're comedians, wouldn't it?
Yeah, especially whether or not.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right, fellas. Let's have the joke.
Yes. Harry and I can tell in a minute.
All right. What joke shall we audition, Colonel?
You know, what has no so-and-sos and so-and-sos?
Oh, yeah. Tell me, Colonel, what has no oars but rows?
What has no which but what?
What has no oars but rows?
A shad.
Yeah.
A shad has rows, yes.
Yeah, but no oars. Who ever heard of a shad with oars?
Yeah, I guess that proves we're comedians, doesn't it?
No, but it certainly proves you're Stupnagel and Bud.
Well, that's what we've been trying to tell you, sir.
Sure, we've taken over your program for the summer. Oh, no, here, wait a minute. You boys don't start until July 1st.
Why, certainly, July 1st. This is June 17th, boys. You're 2 weeks early.
Or else you're 2 weeks late, Fred.
No, you've fixed things up properly here, fellas. You nearly had Fred off the air.
See, I must be slipping, Harry. Last week it took Mr. Hoover to get me off the air. This week, Stupnagel and Bud nearly did it.
Well, I'm sorry, Fred. Guys, this is a pretty kettle of...
This is a pretty kettle of what, Colonel?
Well, I don't know. I hate fish.
Oh, I see.
I just say it's a pretty kettle of and let it go at that.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I just say, it's a...
Oh, I see. Say, you know, we had everything set for a big opening. The colonel even had the zipper on his white vest oiled.
The zipper oiled?
Yes, yeah. We went to quite some expense. This gardenia, the bus fares downtown, and incidental.
Well, we can straighten everything out, fellas. Harry, make an announcement. It'll square things with the studio audience and the listeners.
Yes, I'll do it right away.
Will you do that, Harry?
Ladies and gentlemen, due to some confusion in the dates, we're very happy to announce that Colonel Stupnagel and Bud will not be with us this evening.
Now, quiet, quiet. Quiet, folks. Now, quiet, quiet. No Stupnagel and Bud autographs until July 1st.
Yes.
They're out of
season. Come on, mister. You'll have to get down off the platform.
Taking the hands from the lapel, my friend.
Say, what's on your mind, stranger?
Which is Stupnagel of Stupnagel and Bloody?
Well, that's Stupnagel there, the muscular party.
So where is mein gardenia? That's our program.
Well, now, look. If there's some misunderstanding,
yeah,
I'll be...
What's all the broken English for?
I am Rosenblum, my florist. Tonight, this Colonel Stupnagel, so-called masculine party, is coming into my flower shop and leaving a down payment on a gardenia.
Did you leave a deposit on the gardenia, Colonel?
Yes, flowers keep better if there's a little dew on them, you know.
Listen, better jokes I'm hearing by Eddie Cantor. What's with the gardenia?
Well, now, look, there's been a little mistake here, Mr. Rosenblum. The boys start in 2 weeks, you see. Your money will be good then.
Either I am getting back my gardenia or I'm picketing his buttonhole.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You'll have to take pretty short steps to picket a buttonhole.
Listen, you're talking to a man who can do it. In the locksmith strike, I am picketing the keyhole in a Yale lock.
Well, here's your gardenia, mister. It's lucky I didn't rent these trousers.
Yes, much better. Get him out. Just here, get back from the microphone, folks. People will think the Republican convention's back on the air.
Which one, Bud?
Right over there, lady.
Well, yes, madam, I'm Bud.
You're the one who signed my autograph book before the show, ain't you?
Well, yes, I did.
I heard that joke about the shad.
Oh, and you want an interview.
No, here's your autograph back.
Now, get in line with your complaint. Something on your mind, I doubt.
Hey, wait a minute, you guys. You can't get away with trying to pull a fast one. My wife's in a stronger.
Now, just
stuff.
A minute. Who are you? Who are you, neighbor?
What'd you say? I'm Mr. Bob. Ask Stupnagel and Bud who I am. Ask him what I'm doing here tonight. Go ahead, ask him.
You know this guy, Bud?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's Mr. Bob.
Yeah, you bet it's Mr. Bob. These guys hired me to come up and laugh at him tonight, the crazy old thing.
Oh, now, wait a minute. The Colonel and Bud don't pay people to laugh at them, do they?
They don't, eh? Well, that shows all you know, you old Fred Allen, yeah. You don't think they can get anybody to laugh at him for nothing, do you? Come on now, who pays me off?
Say, Bud, you better talk to him.
Never mind talking. I don't want conversation. I was hired to laugh. I want Jack.
Yeah, but you haven't laughed yet, Mr. Bob.
Now, where's my buddy?
Well, that's not much laughing for your salary.
Oh, yeah? What do you want for $2, Pagliacci?
All right, now, Mr. Bob. Now, you run along, and you'd better take Stupnagel and Bud with you.
Yes, and if you do that, I'll give you $2 extra.
Hey, listen, Alan. For $2 extra, I'll take Stupnagel and Bud, you and Portland, Vanorkin and Estinistra, the studio audience, and I'll take Radio City, too.
And a little cyanide of potassium if you're not overloading yourself.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go 50-50 with you. You take the cyanide and I'll take the potassium.
All right. Now, don't forget, Mr. Bob, to deliver Stupnagel and Bud FOB back here on July 1st.
You said it. I'll have those guys back here on July 1st if I have to make one trip. Yay, boy, some fun and so forth.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Now, tonight...
Mary!
Oh, just a moment, my good woman. Who is this Mary you're paging in the middle of our program?
Mary Livingston, dope. I play Mary's sister on the radio, and I haven't seen her in 3 weeks.
Well, no wonder. She's out in Hollywood with Jack Bennett.
She is? Huh. She borrowed $5 from me, and then... Well, never mind. Just wait till I get a hold of her.
Now, don't get yourself all upset.
Get myself upset? I've been upset all day. I woke up that way.
Oh, you did? Say, Harry, that's your cue.
All right, Fred. Ladies and gentlemen, when you wake up in the morning feeling grouchy and upset and under the weather, there are usually two things wrong with you. Waste in your body and acid in your system. Sal Hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that is especially made to remove those wastes from the body. and to combat that acidity. So the next time you start the day all wrong, feeling grouchy and logy or under par, just put 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water and drink it. Then see how quickly you'll be feeling in good spirits, alert, alive, and normal again. Contest. Here comes Fred Allen leading the winners of this week's Town Hall Amateur Auditions. Let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our amateurs tonight have been selected from the hundreds of applicants who were heard during this week's auditions. Tonight, these boys and girls compete for a first prize of $50 and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, and a second prize of $25 in cash. Now, you folks here in the town hall will select your own winners. Your applause after each act will be recorded on our applause machine, and the 2 acts receiving the highest ratings will be called back later for your final vote. Now, before introducing our first guest, I'd just like to make one thing clear. We've received a number of letters asking if our amateur contests are going to run all through the summer. Yes, the amateur contest will be held at the town hall every Wednesday night throughout the summer. We'll be happy to have anyone living in or near New York City compete. Applications for auditions may be addressed to us here, care of the town hall program at the National Broadcasting Company. And now, ladies and gentlemen, first tonight, may I present from Baltimore, Maryland, Miss Viola Katie Smith. You're from Baltimore, aren't you,
yes,
Miss Smith?
Sir.
Is that your right name, Viola Katie Smith?
Yes, sir.
The whole name, huh?
Yes, sir.
You've heard of Kate Smith, of course.
I have.
That's rather a musical name, as we all know in radio by this time. And your name is even more musical. You're throwing in a viola to boot, aren't you? Well, Uncle Jim... Uncle Jim tells me... How old are you, Katie, do you mind?
16 years old.
16, are you really?
Yes, sir.
Quite a big girl for 16, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, that shows that Baltimore certainly agrees with you, doesn't it?
Yes,
Uncle
sir.
Jim has told me that he has received letters from the governor's office, the mayor, the American Legion, the B&O printing department employees there, so that, as far as we know, everyone in Baltimore is wishing you well tonight. You must be pretty popular there, aren't you?
I guess so.
You appeared at quite a few Legion dinners and things?
I have, yes.
Well, we're very happy to welcome you here tonight, Viola. Or do you care which I call you?
No, indeed.
All right. I could call you VK.
Yes,
get them both in. But we're happy to welcome you here tonight, and we want you to make you feel at home. Are you comfortable?
Oh, yes.
Are you happy?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything more we can do for you?
No, sir.
All right, then you're more than welcome. Now, what are you going to sing?
Is it true what they say about Dixie?
Oh, we're going to have that settled now, huh? All right, you go right ahead. Thank you.
Is it true what they say about Dixie? Does the sun really shine all the time? Do the sweet magnolias blossom around everybody's door? Do folks keep eating possum till they can't eat no more? Is it true what they say about Swanee? Is a dream by that stream so sublime? Do they laugh? Do they love? song. If it's true, that's where I belong.
Thank you very much. That was Miss Viola Katie Smith from Baltimore, Maryland. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Brooklyn, New York, may I present Leonard Harvey. How are you tonight, Len?
I'm all right, Mr. Allen. How are you?
You are, huh? Uncle Jim tells me that you have quite a reputation as an amateur boxer. Is that right?
I think I have, Mr.
How old do you think you have?
I know I have.
You certainly must have suspected something if you've had all of the bouts Uncle Jim says you have. How old were you when you started boxing?
I was 18 years old, Mr.
18
Allen.
Years old,
that's
huh?
That's right.
And how long did you box?
About 5 years.
5 years in the amateurs?
That's right.
How many fights did you have?
I had about 47 fights.
47 fights?
That's right.
Well,
I didn't box very often, Mr. Allen, just now.
Just when you felt the urge.
That's right.
Well, you certainly look swell, Len, so I know that you must be very competent and capable, because most fellas who have been through 45 fights certainly know it.
Well, I held the National AAU Championship for 2 years. In 1930, I won the Golden Glove Championship.
In 1930,
that's
huh?
Right.
Well, that's it. Why did you give up boxing, by the way?
Well, I met the sweetest little girl in 48 states, and she didn't want me to box.
Oh. You got married, huh?
That's right.
Well, that's the way it goes. When you get married, you don't have much time for outside fighting, do you?
Well, I met some real tough opponents in my time, but it seems to me my toughest opponent right now is this microphone in front of me.
No, it isn't. You just forget all about it. You just concentrate on me, and if I get too fresh, let me have a left hook. It'll do me some good. I had an uncle who took up fighting years ago, Battling Finnegan, you may recall him. Edison, really, they say Edison got the idea for the electric light from watching my uncle go out. Well, are you all set, Len?
All right.
Yeah. What are you going to sing?
I'd like to sing All My Life.
All Your Life, huh? Right. Have you studied voice?
Oh, a bit.
A bit, huh?
That's right.
Well, you go right ahead. You feel all right, huh?
That's right.
Well, you go right ahead. You feel all right, huh?
That's right.
Well, you go right ahead. You feel all right, huh?
That's right.
Well, you go right ahead. You feel all right now, don't you? Don't forget the whole thing. Say, we'll be here next Wednesday. Just do anything you want. Hang up your coat if you got your suspenders on and just sing All My Life. You want to 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 sing All My Life.
I've been waiting for you, my wonderful one. I've begun living all my life. All my life, my wonderful one. My love has been waiting for you, my waiting for you. My life is sublime now, my love. You seem so lovely, so far above me, I'm almost afraid to look. But I adore in both, open both. Hold me close to your heart, but all else above, hold my love, darling, all my life.
Thank you very much. That was Leonard Harvey. And very good, too, Len. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Hamilton, Ontario, may I present William Reese and his traveling troubadours. Are you William?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm Mr. Allen. William, glad to know you.
Thanks very much.
What are you boys doing down here from Hamilton, Ontario?
Well, we just come for a visit, Mr. Allen.
Just a visit, huh?
Yes, sir.
I thought maybe you were lost, you know, that you would... Have you been in any amateur contests up in Canada?
We have quite a few.
You have, huh? I noticed your uniforms. You certainly look nice and summery here tonight. You're making me look rather sloppy here with your nice, good humor trousers there. And the sashes, you look fine, boys. And we're very happy to... So seldom we have any entrants in our contest come such a distance. We're very happy to welcome you. We want you to feel at home and do anything you'd like to do. Now, you have an accordion, a guitar, and what's that, a mandolin?
Yeah.
What?
Banjo's Puff.
Oh, a banjo's puff. He has sort of an E-flat voice, hasn't he? And you, William, you have a mouth organ. Now, what are you going to play?
We're going to play the Sharpshooter's March, Michelle.
Sharpshooter's March. Thank you very much. This traveling troubadours from Hamilton, Ontario. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome another visitor from a great distance, Ben Murphy. Ben, you're a long way from home, aren't you?
Long way, Mr. Allen.
Oh, you live at Berkeley, California, is that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you have recently won a contest in San Francisco, as I understand it, run by the Marindell Creamers, is that right?
That's also right.
Mm-hmm. I'm right up to now, huh?
That's right.
Wonderful. I'll miss. I can't go along with this luck. Something's got to happen. And what was the first prize? You don't mind telling me, do you, in the contest?
The first prize was a trip to New York given by the TWA airplanes.
Oh, you flew in?
$50 expenses and hotel bill.
Yeah, that's swell. You flew all the way from California, and then, of course, you fly back.
I think so.
It'd be a fine thing if the prize stopped in the middle, wouldn't it? It'd be a fine thing. Well, those planes, it's certainly wonderful, the service you can get to California. Now, how long did it take you to come?
It took just 18 hours.
18 hours. Yes. We were out there last summer, and I saw some of those big TWA planes there. They've got everything on them but an 18-hole golf course. I guess their planes will have those on them shortly. You certainly can fly around the country, though. We had, just to give you an idea, you've heard of the Pan-American Clipper, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, some people in Honolulu knew that we were going away next week and sent Portland a little bunch of Hawaiian flowers, sent from Honolulu Monday afternoon, and they were here this morning. Wonderful, isn't it?
It is.
From from Hawaii to New York City in practically 2 days. But I don't want to take up your time discussing aeronautics, if that's the word. It'll have to do for now, Ben. But why do you, how do you like that? Would you like to say a few words about California climate as long as you've come this far?
Don't you think it's already been said?
Well, I don't know. There are always new approaches. We might find one. But what are you going to sing, Ben?
I'm going to sing You Started Me Dreaming.
You Started Me Dreaming. Nothing personal, of course.
I don't think so.
All right. I put a lot of people to sleep, but I've never started them dreaming that I know of. Go right ahead.
You started me dreaming. Dreaming such wonderful dreams, until the day that you happened my way, life was so empty it seemed. You started me dreaming, wondering if dreams do come true. You put a thrill in a heart that was still the first thrill that I ever knew. Days were so lonely and friendless. Each day to me was the same. Nights were so long and so endless. Until the moment you came. You started me dreaming, dreaming of heaven for two. You were the start of a dream in my heart. Now I can't stop dreaming of you.
Thank you. That was Ben Murphy from Berkeley, California. Thank you very much, Ben. And now, ladies and gentlemen, good evening, Mr. Sneed. How are you? May I present, I just greeted the next gentleman before I announced his name, Mr. Jack Sneed from Harlem. And how are you tonight, Brother Sneed?
Well, I feel okay, Mr. Allen.
You feel good, huh?
Yes.
Uncle Jim tells me that you were sent down to see us by Mr. Bud of Bud and Stupnagel. Is that right?
Yes.
Everybody always says Stupnagel and Bud. Bud always runs second like brevity. So tonight... tonight, Bud comes in, a long shot comes in, and it's Bud and Stupnagel. You know Mr. Bud, do you?
Yes, sir.
You do, a very fine boy. And we're very happy to have you here. Bud incidentally told me, Mr. Sneed, that you have written and dedicated a song to Mr. Joe Lewis. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You have, huh?
I have.
How'd you come to do that?
Well, I was reading, you know, as you'll see in the words when I sing the song, you know, whenever you see the newsreel of Joe and the show, the slow motion.
Uh-huh.
Well, after he knocks his man out, it looks like he's trucking, you know, that ball.
And that gave you the idea, hey?
Yes, sir.
Have you sung the song for Mr. Lewis?
Yes, I sang it for him up in Lafayetteville.
Well, I guess he must have liked it or you wouldn't be here to talk about it. You wouldn't care to predict the winner of the fight tomorrow night, would you?
Well, Mr. Allen, how can Joe Lewis?
Well, the only one I can think to go with for that, Mr. Sneed, is that the reason they're holding the fight in June is so that Schmeling will be sure to see the fourth. I mean, that's... But you're going... What? Well, I think we can both retire after that little bit of banter, Mr. Sneed. But what do you call your song?
Joe Lewis.
Joe Lewis. Well, all right, you go right ahead. You're going to play your own accompaniment on the guitar, huh?
Yes.
You all set?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Oh, but do that do did it be fit to can anybody tell me who's the greatest new sensation? The fistic marvel of the age, credit to the nation. A boy who won the girlie's heart, the idol of his mama. If you don't know, I'll have you know that it is the brown bomber. He's Big Joe Lewis from Alabama. He don't play bridge, but he sure can slam. He knocks him down, he knocks him round, turns around and trucks on down. He jabs the left, he hooks a right, hooks left with all his might. He doesn't smile, he doesn't frown, just turns around and trucks on down. Oh, Joe, he's a natural trucker. Oh, Joe, say any guy who fights him is a sucker. Seems those guys all trust to luck, then they all forget to duck. Now that's time, he goes to town, turns around and trucks on down. Bam, yeah, 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 da 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 da.
Thank you very much. That was Jack Sneed singing his own original composition. Very good, too, Jack. That was excellent. Your rhyming and the melody was all swell. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Brooklyn, New York, may I present Joseph Peacock and Marcus Kaufman with guitar and bull bass fiddle. That's right.
That's right.
Bass fiddle, huh?
That's right.
How'd you get that over here tonight from Brooklyn? Did you both pitch in or carry
it? No, I trucked it over.
You trucked it? More trucking, hey? You have to be very careful with a bass fiddle, you know, especially if you live in a neighborhood where they have a lot of bungalows. One of Peter Van Steeden's boys had his bass fiddle over in Jamaica last week and left it outside of a drugstore. And when he came out, a nearsighted Fuller Brush man was knocking on the bridge and waiting for somebody to come to the door. So you got to watch out, boys. What would you like to what would you like to play tonight?
We'd like to sing and play Dinah.
Sing and play Dinah. Pardon me, what is your name?
I'm the other half of the duo.
Oh, you Mr. Peacock or Mr. Kaufman?
Kaufman.
Oh, Mr. Kaufman, I'm glad to know you.
Pardon the left hand.
I know. If you got any money, you hold it with the right hand. It'll certainly... Well, all right, you're going to play and sing Dinah. You all set?
Yes,
thank you.
the state of Carolina. If there isn't, you know her, won't you? Sort of me, who diner. With a Dixie eyes blazing, how I love to sit and gaze in through the eyes of Dinah Lee. Now every night, why do I just shake with pride? Because my dynamite changed mind about me. Oh, Dinah, since you wanted a China, I hopped an ocean liner just to be with Dinah Lee, swinging on that bass, yo. China, I'd hop an ocean liner just to be with Annalise. Oh, man.
Thank you very much. That was Joseph Peacock and Marcus Kaufman. And that concludes our amateur contest for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And now, while I consult our applause machine for your winners, Harry and I will, Harry will give you the winners in another contest. And Harry, how about explaining what this other contest is, will you?
All right, Fred. Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol-Myers is conducting a contest among the druggists of America for the best and most attractive window displays of their products. Now, while only druggists are eligible, I'm sure you're all interested in the outcome. Because everyone loves a winner, and because your own druggist might be among the five awarded prizes tonight. Here they are. The first is in the Northeast, New York City, the Lexington Drug Company, Incorporated. The next is in the Middle West, St. Louis, Missouri, the Fisher Drug Company. Now, the Far West, Hollywood, California, the Vine Pharmacy. Here's one in the Southeast, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Hall's Drug Store. And last but not least, the Southwest, Muskogee, Oklahoma, the Purity Drug Company. Druggists such as these, ladies and gentlemen, are among your best friends, serving you with your many needs both day and night. May we congratulate them and thank them for their cooperation. And may we also thank you, listeners, for your cooperation in remembering the two products that make all these Wednesdays with Fred Allen possible. Ipana Toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Hi, Panna. Sal Hepatica. All right, Fred, have you got the results?
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the two acts we've called back on the stage. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his hands over the heads of these boys. Girls are missing tonight. And as I call the names, I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud once again and select your winners for first and second prizes. Now, first, the four boys from Hamilton, Ontario, with their instrumental quartet who played the Sharpshooter's March, Bill Reese and his Wandering Troubadour. And then the young man all the way from Berkeley, California, who sang You Started Me Dreaming So Well, Ben Murphy. Thank you. The first prize, $50 in cash, and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, goes to Ben Murphy with a decibel rating of 95.5. The second prize, $25 in cash, goes to Bill Reese and his Wandering Troubadours. I'm sorry that we all couldn't win, but I want to thank you all for coming here to be with us tonight. Thank you. This is Fred Allen saying good night, ladies and gentlemen. Until next Wednesday night, when you're invited to join us for another hour of smiles at the Old Town Hall. And don't forget, only 13 more days to Stupnagel and Bud. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.